And this is the first service that I have with Cornerstone 2026. And I pray that not only like just like your pastors have prayed, that this service is not just an ordinary service. I pray that this service will inspire us so that 2026, we may do the things that God wants us to do and experience what God has for each one of you. God has a greater plan for each one of you, and I believe 2026 is going to be a better year. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you, God, for your presence. And I pray, God, we want to thank you for 2025. The God that you have blessed all of us, that you have protected us, provided us. But God, whatever we have, God, I pray, God, that we will always have your heartbeat in our hearts, Lord. So that, God, we understand, Lord, the purpose and the will of God upon each one of our life, that we are called uniquely, wonderfully created by you. We are chosen people, a royal priesthood, God's special possession to declare the praises of God. And so I want to thank you. And right now I ask, Lord, you touch our ears will be sensitive to your voice. Prepare our hearts will be receptive. Father, as your son come before you, I pray you hide me behind the cross so that whatever that is said and done, only your name, Jesus, will be glorified. We pray all this in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say, amen, amen. You know, today I'm so glad to be here. And I want to share with all of you something that God has placed upon my heart. Thank Pastor Young for giving me this opportunity, and all the pastors and all of you for the opportunity to share the Word of God. Every Sunday, as we come before God, as we go to church to worship God, you know, to love God with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, and loving our neighbors, that means loving our brothers and sisters, coming together in cell group to spur one another in the Lord. Even as we do that, our love for God is not complete. Our love for God is not complete without the Great Commission. Without the Great Commission. If we say we love God, if you love someone, you want to know what are the things that pleases him or her, right? You want to achieve that. Or you will even go extra mile to do that for her because you love her so much or you love him so much. And so without the Great Commission, the love for God is not complete. Because the very heartbeat of God, the purpose of God is that none should perish, all should come to know the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is where it is so important that we love God, the Great Commandments, accomplish the Great Commandments, but it must come alongside with the Great Commission. Then our love for God is complete. Not only we love God, we will do the things that pleases the Lord. And so, today I entitle my message.
Agents, your mission has already been accepted. You must complete it. If you do not, many will perish without knowing hope, without saving grace, and without experiencing love. Are you ready to fulfill your destiny?
Woo! The Great Commission. You know, how many of us, we watched the Mission Impossible? We love that, you know, it got Mission Impossible 1, 2, 3. But every of their movies, there's urgency. This mission must accomplish. Die must accomplish. If not, life is in danger. People will perish. And so you see the movie, you watch the movie every time. When Tom Cruise received that mission, he go all out. Everything, even his own life. And that is where I think that if we really love God, we should give our very best to God. Fulfilling the Great Commission to please the Lord. Look at the world today. There are so many things happening in the world today. So many uncertainties, disaster, flooding, some place that never experienced snow, right now experience heavy snowing. And in the Middle East, we are talking about peace. If we ever have real peace in Middle East, then we got to wake up. Because it is one of the signs that the Antichrist will be revealed and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many things happen in the world. It's not coincidence. Even right now, sometimes we sit here so comfortable, we thought that, you know, all this type of thing will only happen in other countries. Right now, even Johor, you know, KL, there's earthquake. So, they come down to Johor. Maybe it will come down to Singapore. Who knows, right? But whatever happened, it is not coincidence. We look at the situation that's happening around the world. It is the unfolding of the prophecies that is in the Bible. And that is where it is so important that we all have to wake up. That our soul have to wake up, because as Christians, we must know God, the timing of God, understanding the heartbeat of God and the desire of God. That the heartbeat of God is always to the poor, to the hurting, to those who are lost. That's why God said, none should perish, all should come to know the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So mission is possible. Time is running out. There must be an awakening in our heart. In 1 Samuel chapter 21, you know, verse 1 to verse 9, but I will just read verse 8 to verse 9. David said to Amalekite, don't you have spear and sword here? I haven't bought my sword or any weapon because the king's mission was urgent. The priest replied, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, who you have killed in the valley of Elah, is here. If you want it, take it. There is no sword here but that one. And David said, there is none like it. Give it to me. Give it to me. You know, there must be urgency. The awakening in our soul. Awakening in our soul. And I wrote out there, we must return to the 3 W. It is about our worship, the word of God, and the work of God. We have to go back to the very basic. Sometimes, as I say, we can depend on God if we have nothing. Easier to depend on God when we have nothing. Easier to obey God when we don't know what to do. But the problem comes in when we have everything and we know what to do, we depend on ourselves rather more of God. If God is going to rise us up in the level, then we have to go deeper. We have to go deeper, depend more upon God. As you read in verse 1 to verse 6, you know the story that David is, you know, running away from King Saul, and he come to this place, he met the priest, and then he asked the priest, is there the 5 loaves of bread? The priest said something like that. The priest answered David, I don't have any ordinary bread on hand. However, there is some consecrated bread here. Provided your men keep themselves from women. And David replied, indeed, women have been kept away from us. As usual, whenever I set out, the men's body are holy, even on the mission that are not holy. How much more today that we have to go back? As I shared the last time I came here about consecration, be holy for God is holy. We need to go back to the fundamental, very basic teaching of the Bible. God said, when the Spirit of God come upon you, you shall have power. It's not, you know, when the pastor lay him, you got zapped and you have power. The power come when you read the Word of God every day in your life. When you obey God, when you walk into the truth, the Word of God, that's where you experience power, the power of the Word of God that is able to transform your life. When you hear the Word of God, then you can experience the power of the Word of God, because God created the whole wide world with His Word. With His Word. God said, let there be light, there is light. That is why it's so important that we all go back to the very basic to understand the Word of God. Nobody in this world will tell you that I have understand, I have read the Bible, I understand the whole Bible. Today you may read the same chapter, but the Word of God is eternal. Today you are primary six, the Word of God only teaches you primary six type of lesson. But as you go deeper, and if God raises you higher, you need the anointing of God, you need faith. Faith comes from hearing, hearing comes from the Word of God. You got to hear the Rhema Word of God in order to change the culture of your society. To change the culture of your society. And that is where it is so important that we go back to the very basic. Your quiet time, your prayer life, your worship, and your work. Your service to God have to depend more and more upon God. I always tell my brothers, oh, very few people read the Bible, but many people read your life and my life. Jesus said, look at the tree by the fruits. Not by the paper, not by his intellect, but by the fruits. The fruits of the Spirit of God. That we walk in the Spirit will bear fruits. But at the same time, when we hear the Word of God, we are able to operate the gift of the Spirit of God that come by faith. So that people will see us as much as we are ordinary people, yet we are extraordinary. Because why? We have the power of the Spirit of God within us. We have the truth that is able to set the life of those who are hurting. But even though God has given us all this, the question that we need to ask, that are we using it? Is there urgency in our life? And so with the passage from 1 Samuel chapter 21, we know that King Saul was chasing David, and David came to the place, to the temple, and as I have read just now, the priest said, this is a sword that you have used it to kill Goliath. Why is it mentioned in this passage? There are other swords maybe around, but why Goliath, the sword that David used? It is because David's life started at the battle with Goliath. And many of us, we started our life. Go back to the first encounter with God. Going back to your first love for God. Yes, God will use us to do great things. But if you are going higher and doing greater things, but your love and your understanding in the Word of God is not going deeper, then you might be burned out. You might get into trouble. Because the devil is not afraid of how smart you are. The devil is afraid is how prayerful you are. How much you depend upon God and not yourself. Because the devil can get us anytime. Anytime. No matter how experienced you are, no matter how big your ministry, no matter how anointed your ministry, you must go back that your ministry is started with nothing but except with God and God alone. Where you are is by the grace of God. Nothing to boast about, but we want to boast, we boast of the greatness of God. That what God has done for me, what God has done for the ministry, what God has done for the church. And then we depend upon God, and our focus is always Jesus and giving glory to his name. And that is where if God can find a person, a woman like this, God can't wait to pour down heaven on earth. And so when David met Goliath, what's the first thing that David said? In fact, you know, King Saul was trying to, you know, clothe him with the armor of men. Many times that people will try to use us because of our experience, because, you know, we know how to talk, we know how to present. But David said, I need not all this. I need God. And Goliath even make fun of him. David said, you come against me with sword and spear, but I come against you in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the mighty name of the Lord. David started with God. I have been in the ministry right now for 30 years. The late Reverend Koo is my mentor. Jason Wong is also like my mentor. Both of us are mentored by the late Reverend Koo. And always he told my hand, he said, "Don, when you start with God, you must end with God. Don't end with any other thing." And that is where it is so important that you have to go deeper. There must be an awakening. First and foremost, our worship. When we come to church, are you excited that today, as you come in here, you are not just going to sit down there and hear your phone while the worship team is leading the worship? You are coming here to worship the King of Kings, and we come here to worship in spirit and in truth. There got to be awakening in our heart. We are not here to sing a few songs or feel good. We are here to make sure that we please the Lord with our worship. And when the presence of God, that where it will make a difference. How about our prayer? You know, it is time to pray with fire. I like your pastor. Every time he pray with the type of anointing, even though he's older than me right now. Yeah, and I always say his voice is like thunder. You know? Yeah. Many times, you know, last time, everything we pray. But right now, when we pray, we say that, wow, you know, we pray because of convenience. I have time, then I pray. It's not that you have time, then you must pray. You must set time to pray. If you are not praying, then whatever you do, there is no power. There is no power. How about consecration? Right now, holiness is so-called outdated. Look at the next generation. You talk about moral living. All this, they don't talk about it anymore. God said, "Be holy, for I am a holy God." How about evangelism? We can, you know, sometimes don't talk about reaching out to the community. Even our close ones, day in, day out, they are not, they haven't received the Lord. They haven't got saved yet. But yet we just, every day doing our daily thing. Let us wake up that someone's eternity depends on you. Because if you don't share the good news, then how can they know about the saving grace of God? How about family, the children? That we thought that the church had the responsibility because children ministry, make sure that, yes, the church have children ministry to teach on the children. But parents, you have the responsibility to lead them the way of the Lord. By your example, there must be an urgency in, you know, getting back to God and also praying for your children, doing that with love. And lastly, is that our calling. Our calling, how about our calling? If we don't preach, don't pray, don't serve, don't give, no one will do it for you. We got to rise up. Not only your pastors that preach the word of God, every one of you, we must be the mouthpiece of God. We must be the mouthpiece of God. And when we speak the word of God, you can be assured that the word of God has the power to change. To change situation, to change your life. Because I tell you, the word of God is so powerful. So, so powerful. If we don't teach our members and our children the way of God, then the world, value and system of the world will seep into the next generation. Corinthians said that, you know, if we eat or if you drink, do anything, do it for the glory of God. Our walk, our worship, the word of God, that will change our lives, sanctify our body, soul, and spirit, so that, you know, we are the workmanship of His glory. That when people see us, they can see us, they can see Jesus is in us, and that the power of God that transformed us to become the witnesses of God. So today, I hope that, you know, it's not easy to preach this type of message. It's quite quiet, you know. But nevertheless, your pastor also, I like your pastor, is that, you know, it doesn't matter you're quiet, you're not comfortable. It matters whether I speak the word of God or not. And that is where I think that no more just going to church. Sunday, spend 2 hours, and in the church, never pay attention, but come to church straight away. After lunch, where are we going? Katong laksa is nicer. No, we come to church. Hey, today, let's get excited, man. Today, I think God is going to do something because we're going to worship God in spirit and in truth. And that is where I think there must be a passion to bring us back to the first love of God. That fuel our heart that we love God with all our heart, with all our soul. And then, you know, we have the eyes of Jesus. With the love of God, we have the eyes of Jesus. When we see the crowd, we see them as sheep without shepherd. How you see people, it depends on your vocation. The politicians see people, they don't see you, they see vote, you know. Businessmen, they don't see you, they see dollar sign, you know, because there is a market. But how do Jesus see people? The Bible says Jesus saw the crowd as sheep without shepherd, and he was filled with compassion. When you love God, when you really love God, love somebody, the person don't have to tell you what is in his heart or her heart. You will be able to send. And because of your love and because you understand how much God loves you, you just want to do the things that pleases him. And so it's so important that we preach the gospel, we receive salvation. We must also talk about the second coming of God. We must talk about eternity. Yes, we preach about eternity, the second coming of God. But yet today, many, we live our life as if that there is no eternity, that Jesus is not coming back. If we really believe and hope that we will see and, you know, look forward to see Jesus, then it changes everything. It changes whatever, the way you look at the world. It changes your possession. Not getting more, but being a blessing to more. It changes your value. You don't love the world. You don't pursue the possession of the world, but you pursue God. And with the blessing of God, you extend the kingdom of God. I mean, we are talking about revival and Love Singapore. We come together to talk about revival for Singapore again. And I thank God that, you know, even with Alliance, and we are talking about reaching out. But as you look at the world, sometimes sad to say, we talk about the revival, we talk about revival, but the devil have more revival than us, you know. The devil have more revival than us. Look at the next generation. During my time, drugs is something, gang, but right now you are talking about immorality. You're talking about different kinds of problems that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That beyond what you and I can imagine. I want to show you some PowerPoint. Look at the youth right now. Last time my time, right, I said one, I have girlfriend now, okay? And so we don't even dare to hold hands, no? Because school uniform, right? We don't even dare. Nowadays, you see school uniform, bus stop also, they kiss, you know. They do all kinds of things beyond what we can imagine. Holy life, moral living, it's no more. It's outdated. That's how. Look at this. Right now you talk about same-sex relationship. Last time during my time, if you have this problem, it's a stigma, it's a taboo thing, you know, you don't talk. But right now, they don't, it's not that they don't talk, they even parade. They have more revival. They're shouting to the world. How about drugs? I'm involved with drugs here. But right now, the drugs, they turn it into like entertainment type of a substance. Look at this. Gang, you know the Hong Kong one, that one, right? The tattoo. Now the gang, they don't have code of honor, code of conduct. Last time my time, we have this. Like, for example, you don't go and rob an elderly person. You rob an elderly person or you bully somebody without reason. You come back, the gang will punish you. But right now, their gang is even worse. You and I, let's say we cut the hairstyle like that, we belong to one gang. We wear like that, we belong to one gang. We do whatever we like. As long as, you know, we can overcome it. And right now, they bully, they not only put into the social media, they attract the police. Last time, if you do that, the gang will punish you. But right now, it has been like that. The gang is diluted, but yet it's so dangerous. It's so dangerous. How about body modification? We talk about tattoo. 20 over years ago, they just started to have a little bit, you know. But after that, I told the people, I say, oh, yeah, you know, the danger. Then we thought that it would not happen in Singapore. Oh, it will happen in other countries, right? The West, not in Singapore. But we didn't know. It happened so fast. This guy is one of my friends. And at first, a bit tattoo, and right now, the whole face. Even the lips, some of them, they split the tongue. How about this guy? Wow, whole face, body. And then when he closed his eyes, game over. Really game over. No? You thought that it never happened in Singapore. It happened so fast. This picture was taken maybe 18 years ago already. Look at this. It looked like devil. But yet, they promote it. They even give them an award. This one, a man that turned out to be the first dragon woman. Some of you all know this Simon Boyd, the influencer. Yeah, he's quite famous right now. He's one of our graduates. But in the beginning, I told him, you don't ever mention New Caris Mission. Because he was in the media, but yeah, talking about Jesus, but life is not proportionate, you know, in while you talk about God and then you join those media, like for example, one of the social media, they call themselves Bluebird. Bluebird in Hokkien is vulgarity, you know, it's a vulgar word. And so, but he always like to come and see me because he's one of our graduates. But every time I scold him, he still like to come and see me. But I make my stand. I say, you don't use New Caris Mission. You can say halfway houses until your life changes. So I began to mentor him and later part have two children, you know, in the media to help him accountable. And after that, his life slowly. Now he's a video or he don't talk, he don't speak vulgarity anymore. So we mentor him and I married both of them right now, her children. He also has split tongue. So it's happening in Singapore. And so my brothers and sisters, the devil have a pattern. It's always to steal, to kill, and to destroy the next generation. The next generation. In the times of Moses, the first generation, the firstborn, they tried to kill. In the time of Jesus, also tried to kill the newborn generation. Right now, you can't kill babies, right? But yet, the same thing is happening. Same-sex marriage will not reproduce. It killed the next generation, right? The world is talking about right now, you see some of the countries, they prefer to take care of dogs rather than babies. The world is changing. And we must know the timing, the prophecy that have been unfolding so that you and I have the urgency to fulfill the purpose that we are created, that we are born onto this earth. It's not about how long we live. It's about whether we fulfill the will and the purpose of God or not. I have shared with you all, sometimes we have the wrong mindset that we thought that we are here to build and to stay. It's never to build, to stay. 80, 100, 120 years old, one day you got to leave. It is to build for the next generation and prepare yourself for eternity. If we have it right, then we will be able to ask God that, God, while I'm on this earth, what am I doing? Loving you, I will. Loving people, I will. But God, help me to fulfill the mission. And that mission, the great commission of God. And we need to go back to the very basic, because you only can give what you have. You only can give what you have. You know, I believe you are, that we have to go back not only having the gift of a teacher, pastor, and evangelist, but you need the gift of apostle and also a prophet. And I believe that, you know, Cornerstone, you all have the five gifts, especially your pastor. I just attended your Orchard Road dedication. Wow, I was so blessed. So I was having dinner inside the room, and then I went to the toilet. You know, the toilet, you have to walk, right? I don't know if you've been there, you have to walk, and then you turn right. Oh, my goodness, I turned right, I saw, you know, what? Who greet me? Two ladies dressed to kill greet me. Hey, man! I stare at them, you know. Then they were shocked, because then I look up, it's a club, naughty girl. Then I walked to the toilet, but they were shocked. They quiet. Because why? Because I'm handsome or because? No. When you are a minister, let's say you are deputy prime minister, when you're going to walk there, you think the girl will talk to you like that? If they know you're coming, they will disappear. Because you walk with the anointing of God. You bring in the presence of God. In the presence of God, there is holiness. There's holiness. People will know. And then I come out, I didn't see them. But I go and talk to Pastor Kelvin, and we sit down. And I say that, really, it's amazing. I want to challenge you all. Don't be afraid. Because God has given you the anointing, the apostolic anointing, the prophet anointing that your pastor had, that will flow down. Because why? If you don't have that, the church will be so fearful. Because I know that your church have offered you better place, more comfortable place. Then go to this type of places. How about my children? How about my husband, who is not spiritual mature? How to reach out to them? In fact, they will reach out to my husband. You will be fearful, but with the anointing of God and with the faith of God, we stand. And when we stand long enough, the wall of Jericho will have to come down. That's like what God did in this place. God is able to do it again. You got to put your faith in the Lord. And I really thank God when I was there. Quickly, and I will share with you quickly, that we, you know, second point is that there must be urgency. There must be urgency. The king business require urgency. Don't wait that you have to go through like me, like that, go through all the pain, face death, then we, wow, wake up, I must win. You know, when I was in the hospital, I also asked God, and some leader asked me, Pastor, he said, is that the only way that you can give glory to God? You have to go through all this pain, all this suffering. I tell the brothers, I tell the Christian brother, I say, I don't have all the answer. But one thing I do know is that I need to stay faithful to God. No matter what happened, He's still my good Father. He's still a faithful God. And so one day I was in the morning, I wake up and I begin to, I say, God, what is happening? Then God told me one thing. God said, Don, I don't want you to reach out. Well, when I hear that, I thought my time is up already. God said, I don't want you to reach out. I want you to spread out. I raised you in the position. I want you to win soul. And so with that, I began to pray. And when it is of the Lord, God do something beyond what you and I can imagine. And I began to talk to the Taiwan pastor. and talk about, you know, we have to go and reach out. And so last year, because of our the Lord had placed upon my heart, there's an urgency. There's an urgency, and I begin to gather these two pastors, both of them also ex-offenders, drug addicts, drug traffickers, and now they run their halfway house, one from Vietnam, Pastor Chung and Pastor Simon, one from Taiwan. They run the most effective halfway house. They also met their president in their country. I also met our president in their country. So we come together, we have a medical weekend at this BBTC and also at Pentecost Methodist Church. And we see many people come to know God. I have the opportunity that when you pray, God begin to open doors. Last year, I have preached the most evangelistic events for the past 30 years. Last year was the most. I preached at maybe 11 to 12. I see many people got saved. This one, it was in Expo, 2,000 people, elderly, and so many of them give their lives to the Lord. And one of the things that, you know, Elder Gay asked me to preach their evangelistic event, and they changed the whole way of doing things because they see the urgency. You want to buy one ticket, it's $20. Festive season, but you must bring one pre-believer. So I didn't know. I went to the restaurant, and then the pastor said that half of them are pre-believer, because you buy one ticket, you have to bring one, or else you cannot, because the church heavily subsidized for the dinner. Well, I was so excited. I got my guys to pray. I said, 8 o'clock, I'm going to preach, because restaurant setting are very hard to evangelize on. You speak, they also speak. You say the bread of life, you know, the word of God, they talk about the food on the table. So it's very hard, but I get the people to pray. Prayer does work. And the whole thing was very quiet when I share. To cut the story short, you know, even the waiter and the waitress, they were standing at the back, no serving, very quiet. I begin to share. Parents give their life to the Lord. And after that, I was sitting with the pastor, and another pastor came and tell the pastor, he said, "Pastor, just now the three, the waitress, they all like, they also say the sinner prayer." I tell you, I drive back, I cry. When you have the heart, God is able to do amazing things. And so, when we talk about urgency, we have to really know that when the king business, there is urgency, and we ourselves have to tell ourselves, "I will not be casual when hell is real. We will not be silent when souls are dying. We will not be lukewarm while you see all the prophecies is unfolding. And we will not sleep while our generation is burning." So my brothers and sisters, urgency, not complacency. We got to wake up that today the fire of God will come upon your life. You know, the king business is not an option, not secondary, not a side quest. It is a commandment that you and I had to fulfill. As he said, "Go and preach the good news." Vision die in the climate of complacency, but vision strive in the atmosphere of urgency. If hell is advancing with urgency, are we advancing the kingdom of God with the kind of urgency? And I will close with this. We get the worship team to come up, and you know, I've been a pastor for 30 over years. So one of the sisters one time came, and quite well off, the father is very well taken care of, God help her, not only one, maybe two. Every year we will hear that he bring the father around the world and having great time. He gave the very best of the world to the father. And one day, the doctor diagnosed that the father only got 3 to 4 months life to live. Then she came to me and said that, can you go and share with my dad? Because the dad understand Hainanese. I'm a Hainanese. By that time, I cannot speak, cannot share the gospel in Hainanese. And then I heard they bring the dad to the Changi, Upper Changi. There's only one Hainanese church. But sad to say, the sister gave the very best of the world to the father. But the father received hell in eternity. The father didn't know God. My father is 89 years old. I prayed for 18 years. And one day my father gave his life to the Lord. But after that, Chinese New Year, right? Then with my uncle, they also go and hold your stick. Then I said, Dad, I also don't know whether he's really saved or not. So I told my dad, Dad, you know, the time you accepted Jesus, why are you worshiping the idol? He said, yeah, la, uncle, they worship, I just worship. La. Then when second time he was admitted to hospital, I shared the word of God again. I said, are you sure that, you know, the last time you accepted the Lord, you really believe or not? He said, yes, I believe. I said, you really believe? Let's say it again, you know, your sinner prayer again. So I let him to say the sinner prayer again. But yet this time, 3 months ago, 89 years old, admitted to hospital, I still have the urgency. I'm still not assured that really he accepted the Lord. I went to the, every day I visited him, I pray. And then that day I say, Dad, I say, you are old. I say, you remember you accept Jesus. I want you to know that whatever happened, you're going to heaven. I say, do you really believe? They say, yes. I say, really? You must believe in your heart. He said, yes. I say, then pray again now. But this time I pray Hainanese with him. Pray Hainanese. I say this. After prayer, I say, Dad, you just now pray whatever. You must believe. Must believe. You know what my dad tell me? He said, how can I not believe? Your life has changed to be another person. I tell you, assure me. Praise the Lord. There must be urgency. Because this is what we are created for. Not for this temporal life, but for eternity. You take it seriously, going back to the basic, praying, had the heartbeat of God. God's heartbeat is always none should perish, all should come to know the saving grace of God. You don't know what to do, the Holy Spirit will teach you what to do. So there must be urgency. And to close with this, the Great Commission, right? Get up, gear up, and get ready. Because the Father's business, there must be urgency. Let's stand on our feet as we worship the Lord. Hallelujah.
At our hands, everything we have, use it for your plan. Won't you, Lord, take a look at our hearts, mold it finely as you set us apart. We want to run to the altar and catch the fire, to stand in the gap between the living and the dead. Give us a heart of compassion for a world without vision. We will make a difference, bringing hope to our land.
We will run.
Get our hands, everything we have, use it for your plan. Won't you, Lord, take a heart, you want to run to the altar and catch the fire to stand in the gap between the living and the dead. Give us a heart of compassion for a world without vision. We will make a difference, bringing hope.
We will run. Let's lift up our hands, our heart, and
we will answer the call to build this church without walls.
Amen.
Let your glory be shown and bring salvation to the lost. Lord, we want to run to the altar and catch the fire to stand in the gap between the living and the dead. Give us a heart of compassion for a world without vision. We will make a difference, bringing hope.
With all our eyes closed right now. You know, as you worship God, God come and dwell in the praises of His people. God is pleased that we love Him with all our heart, with all our soul. We worship Him in spirit and in truth. But we want to love God with all our hearts, then we would want to please Him with whatever that's in His heart. The very heartbeat of God is none should perish and all should know the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, how many of us that we have our loved ones, we have our close friends, we talk everything. In fact, we do everything if they are in trouble to help them. But yet, sometimes we don't even dare to share with them the good news, the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And today, as you hear the Word of God, 2026, I believe that God has given your church Cornerstone, that you have the higher calling, that God have greater things, that as you look at the horizon. But let us be reminded, just like Paul said, I have never considered that I have made it, but one thing I do know is to forget about the past and to strike forwards, heavenly words, to fulfill His calling. Let us not be complacent. Let's tell the Lord God, take away the complacency in me. Lord, let your fire, Father, burn in my heart, that my whole being is consumed by your love, that I will come out of my comfort zone so that I can fulfill your heartbeat, the Great Commission. If today, while you hear the message and there's a stirring in your heart for the lost, your loved one who are not saved, your friend, and you say, God, 2026, at least I'm going to win one soul for you, God. One soul, God. I tell you, if you really seriously pray, just one soul, I tell you, God will give you more. God will give you more. Let there be awakening that life is at stake. You have the answer. You have the gift of God that they may receive the best in eternity. If this is your prayer, you say, God, let me go back to the very basic. Let's once again, I have the hunger for your words. I have the love for you and for people. And most of all, God, open up my eyes to see people, that the people need the Lord. They are sheep without shepherd, God. If this is your prayer, you say, God, open up the eyes of my heart, that I may see what you see and do what you do, God. So by the count of three, if this is your prayer, I want to pray for you. By the count of three, I want you to raise up your hand. Just like the song says, I will run to the fire. If this is your prayer, ready? 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Jesus. I see many hands. As you raise up your hand, raise it high, I'm going to pray for all of you before I hand the time to Pastor Timothy. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. God, I pray a double portion of your anointing be upon Cornerstone, God. Be upon our dear spiritual father of Cornerstone. That I pray double portion, Lord. That this anointing of a prophet, of the apostolic anointing, it will overflow, Lord, to the next generation, Lord. Because we need that to extend the kingdom of God, to change culture. And the apostle, God, they're able to lead the people. And God, today, God, you see all these hands, God. I pray, God, not of gold or silver. I pray for the fire of the Holy Spirit to come, God. I pray for the fire of holiness to come, God. That, God, you will come and cleanse our ears. Cleanse our eyes that we may see what you see, Lord. That we may hear your words and fill our hearts, Lord. Sanctify our hearts with your love, Lord. And empower our life, Lord, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the anointing that flow down, God, that we will be able to prophesy the word of knowledge that we will have that gift, Lord, as we pray. As we reach out to the community, I pray for each one of the pastors that God, this apostolic anointing will flow down, God. That faith will rise up, Lord. Fear will have to go, Father. And God, they will make a difference in the new place that you have given them, God. In Orchard Tower, that it will be a lighthouse, Lord. In that place, Lord, that is full of darkness. That I pray, God, that you did it in Katong, you will do it again, God, in Orchard, God. So let our faith rise up. And Lord, it's not about the building, it's about the people. And so God, help us to have that heart to fulfill the great commission, God. Thank you, Lord, for today's message. Let us go deeper, God. As all these brothers lift up their hands, we're going to sing this song one more time. That this church, Lord, is built without wall, Lord. That we will run to the altar and get people to be saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.